Welcome back to Random Trek, the podcast in which I, your host, Scott McNulty, discuss a random episode of Star Trek with a non-random guest. My guest this evening is the one, the only, John Moltz. John, thank you for joining me.
It's great to be back.
It's always a pleasure to talk Star Trek with you because I know you are a big fan of Star Trek.
I am.
I'm not even going to bother asking the question about if you're a Star
Trek. My Star Trek chops.
No, you no longer have to prove yourself. I think you've been on a couple of times already. Everyone understands that you like Star Trek. Yeah. I haven't given you a chance to tell the people about yourself. I was just so excited to jump into Star Trek. But why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself before we...
I am a freelance writer and a podcaster, and I appear on The Rebound every week with our good friend Dan Morin and Lex Friedman, and Turning This Car Around, a podcast about fatherhood, also with Lex and with John Armstrong.
Lex is everywhere you go.
Yes, Lex. I apparently can't podcast. I guess I can podcast without Lex. I was going to say I can't, but here we are.
That's well. He is actually on the line. He's just muted because he doesn't know anything about Star Trek.
He doesn't watch this show.
No, he does not.
He would not be on this line.
He has been on Random Trek once, and I had him
watch. Is that right?
Yes, he watched his first ever Star Trek episode. It was an Enterprise episode.
Oh, my God.
And he was very confused. The thing that made me laugh and laugh is he asked me if T'Pol was a robot, which is a valid question, and I explained,
if you don't know anything about the show, you might wonder.
Yes, but she is not a robot.
anyone for new listeners,
that's right. Spoiler alert for Enterprise.
Right,
T'Pol
right.
I haven't seen
Enterprise, and don't know anything about Vulcan names.
That's right. But we are not going to talk about Enterprise episode. We're going to talk about a Next Generation episode. But before we get to it, I have a question for you because I believe, John, now we are living in an exciting time to be a Star Trek fan because there is new Star Trek to be had.
Yeah.
There's even new Star Trek on TV. I'm doing air quotes because it's not on TV, but it's a new world. So my question to you, John, is if CBS calls you up tomorrow and says, hey, we need a new Star Trek show and we want you to be the showrunner and pitch us your Star Trek series, what would you pitch? And I should say for people listening, I gave John no preparation that I was going to ask him this question.
Boy, you sure didn't.
So... that's the way I roll.
Boy, that's a good question. I mean, I am very excited about the Patrick Stewart returning to Trek, and he posted a picture of him in the writer's room, and that was very exciting for me. So I would probably pick something if I had, you know, before this came up, I would have picked something centered around him, because he has. I think I used to be a Kirk guy, but I think I'm a Picard guy now.
You've matured into a Picard guy?
Yeah. And I was noticing the other day, I was as I was watching this episode, and I had been working my way, so I did a rewatch like a year or two ago, and I was watching some other shows, trying to find some shows that would, you know, were calming and positive about the future because of things that are going on in the world that make me anxious. And I thought, well, I'm just going to go back and watch some favorite episodes from The Next Generation. And so I was, I'm not watching it all the way through, but I was bouncing around. And I noticed that when I got to this episode, which I actually just by coincidence did, fortunately, right on time for this.
Wow.
So I watched, now I can't remember what's the one, but the one right before it, just like the other day. And then I was like, oh, great. Like, can turn the other one, you know, watch that one, this one next.
Cause and effect.
And I noticed by looking up, because there's a question about Picard's age in this one, and I was looking up Patrick Stewart's age to reference against Picard's age, and I noticed that he's basically my age now in this episode. So it's like, I thought that was funny because I think when I first saw some of these episodes, the previous one with Wesley where he leaves the ship, I, you know, sort of identified with Wesley the first time I saw it. And now the shoe's on the other foot, and I am identifying with Captain Picard. So I don't know. I would say something having to do with Captain Picard, and I would keep him in the captain seat. I would not. Not have him be an admiral, because I, you know, I agree with Kirk in that not so great Generations movie that these guys are better as captains, and you know, the minute you turn them into administrators, it's just kind of dull. So I don't know what they're planning on doing for this upcoming show, but I hope I hope he's not just like pushing papers on a desk.
I can't imagine that it will be, you know, the Adventures of Captain Picard Starfleet bureaucracy. But maybe, I don't know. I think that if I were given the same opportunity as you, I feel like what I would do is align with some of Star Trek that we have not seen before and some of CBS's strengths and come up with some sort of Star Trek procedural with detectives and lawyers. And 'cause I do think that would be interesting to see. And CBS has like a million of those shows already. So just put one in space and you're done.
Yeah. And I think that's the problem. The reason everybody got kind of tired of Star Trek was they kept trying to do basically the same show over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I think Deep Space Nine was a little bit different, but Voyager and Enterprise were basically just, you know, ship flying around in space. We got a crew of, you know, certain number of people who come from somewhat different backgrounds, but still they all, Voyager, at least they didn't all get along that well.
Yeah, but I feel like every time I talk about Voyager, I bring up the missed opportunities of Voyager. I feel like they kind of glossed over the rift between the Federation crew and the Maquis crew very quickly, and they all pretty much got along. There was a little more rough edges than certainly on Captain Picard's Enterprise, which everyone was like singing Kumbaya all the time. But it was still pretty chummy on Voyager.
Yeah. Until Ensign Ro gets there.
That's true. She shakes things up.
Because I had kind of forgotten about her, really. She's not in all that many episodes, but she's very argumentative.
Yeah, and that's why she stands out so much, right? Because she is the one that's like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's stupid. I'm going to wear my earring, damn it, and leave me alone. Right.
And I'm going to shunt all the phaser power into the the engineering station when you're not supposed to do that. It's not completely against procedure.
That's well, and speaking of completely against procedure, that is the central idea of the episode that we watched, which I have not even told people yet, although people who have downloaded this podcast will see in the title that we watched The First Duty, which is Next Generation episode, season 5, episode 19. When I told my wife I was going to watch this and asked her if she wanted to join me, she said, which one is it? And I said, Wesley Crusher. And she's like, oh, I'm not interested in Wesley Crusher.
Aw.
I know, poor Wes. She did end up watching it with me, but she was not very excited about the Wesley
Crusher. Didn't want to talk about it.
No. She said, let's remain silent as we watch this. Poor Wesley. But this is, so the thing I find interesting, Star Trek is always focusing on people who are good people, and they're looking for, they're acting morally and they're working together as a team. And this is what you were talking about earlier, John, you know, the bright future, and it's nice. But I always find it interesting when they delve into slightly darker side of things. And this is where, in this episode, there's a little, one person, one character in particular, is not living up to Starfleet standards, and he kind of seduces and cajoles the rest of his team to back up his not so great method of dealing with the situation they're in. So it's an interesting episode,
and then ends up on Voyager.
Right, this is the episode. This is the episode people may remember as the one with Tom Paris. Only he's not Tom Paris in this episode. Paris, I can't even think of the actor's name, which is not good.
Robert Duncan McNeil. Robert McNeil Duncan, which went one way or the other.
Yes. And he
Robert
plays
Robert Duncan McNeil.
Ooh, and he plays Cadet Locarno. Is that how
Nicholas Locarno, yeah.
And what, you know, so you could tell right from the start, even when at the beginning, you're like, this kid, he's up to no good.
Yeah, right. And that's an interesting little, that's an interesting tip off that they give you at the beginning, because you get the beginning, and they're going back to Earth because mm-hmm. Picard's going to speak at the graduation ceremony or something, and he's looking forward to seeing Wesley again, and Wesley is in some flight group of cadets, which, you know, doesn't make a lot of sense, but okay. And then they get there, and so they get told there's an accident, right?
Yes.
Is it okay if I do this?
Please.
I can't remember. If I'm stepping on your toes.
No, we're like a Starfleet crew. We are a team. Okay. We can switch off.
I'm dumping all the phaser power into the engineering station.
Take off that earring.
So if it fries, it's not my fault. Picard and Dr. Crusher beam down to see Wesley, and he's doing some physical therapy in his room. And then Locarno shows up, and Wesley gives them the bum's rush and basically, shoves them out the door. It's like, well, I got to talk to Nick here. And,
yeah, we got to talk.
You guys have to go.
Cadet stuff. No, adults allowed.
Which is a clue, obviously, because it's like, if they have nothing to hide, why are they, talking in secret?
Yes, and the thing
they have something to hide.
They do have something to hide. We don't know until midway through the episode what they're hiding. But the one thing I did notice in that scene that I didn't notice before, although it's super obvious, is that he has a little Constitution class, model of a starship on his desk, which I thought was
which
enjoyable.
Was apparently like a some sort of pewter replica that they sold in the 80s, which I missed out on.
I know, I want it. It looks cool.
Yeah, I know. It looks nice.
Good job, Wes. And so as soon as they introduce Tom Paris, who isn't Tom Paris, you think, and he feels, I mean, this actor is really good at playing characters who a little oily. So he comes in and he's a little smarmy, and he's like, oh, great to meet you, Captain Picard and Dr. Crusher. And you think, oh man, you don't trust this guy.
Yeah. This is no good.
He's not good. Wesley, why are you hanging out with these people? That's what Dr. Crusher should have said. Wesley, I don't like the people you're hanging out with.
I think he said, the actor said, that the difference between the two characters was that Locarno was a bad guy who acts good, and Paris was a good guy who acts bad.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I can see that.
Which I think, and I think that makes sense.
It does, because he's not so good.
The really interesting thing I thought that I read just, in preparing for this episode, is that I was always wondering, I always thought that the reason they didn't use Locarno, but they used Robert Duncan McNeil, was for that reason, was basically they thought that the thing that he did was too slimy, and they wanted Tom Paris to not be that slimy. And in a way, I think that you can definitely, you could have done that though, and, make it more of a redemption story where he's realized that he was wrong and that he is coming around and trying to make his life better. But they chose not to do that because they didn't want to taint the character from the beginning. So whatever, that's fine. But the other reason, which was probably the bigger reason, is that if they had made him Locarno, then they would have had to pay royalties to the writers of this episode throughout the run of Voyager. which never occurred to me. And then I read that and I was like, oh, of course, that's why.
Yes, this seems to be a theme in Star Trek. Story, of course, of Gene Roddenberry writing lyrics to the original series theme song so that he could get royalties every time they played it, but didn't share it with the person who composed the theme song. Which is not so nice either, Gene Roddenberry. But he's not in this episode, so we don't have to dwell on it. But so it's weird, right? Because, I remember going to college and your parents visit and you're like, oh man, I don't want, you're excited to see them, but you're also like, you're cramping my style. And so I feel like Wes did a good job, Will Wheaton did a good job of showing that through Wes's interactions, that he was like, I'm glad you're here, but also I don't want you to be here.
Yeah.
Especially since he knows what they did, and he knows that even though Locarno says, listen, we're not going to lie, we're just not going to tell the truth.
We're going to tell him everything.
I'm like, I don't know. That seems like you're lying. Also, the Admiral gathers them all in. Clearly, for this episode, they had one extra set. So, the garden. So everything happens in this classroom, weird classroom setting. So which I thought was odd, because they have one scene where she's talking to the commandant or the superintendent of Starfleet Academy, is talking to them about what happened, and it's in this weird room, and it just seems like the wrong setting to be talking to the people who, the parents or guardians of the cadets that have had this accident.
They're sitting like behind a railing.
Yes.
They're all like in some sort of audience, which is clearly the, it's more like a courtroom than it is like a meeting room or something like that. But yeah, it's like, there's like this great distance between the admiral and these people who, you know, that one guy whose kid just died.
Yeah. And she's like, well, sorry about that, but commencement goes on because
life goes on. Well, thanks. Well, it doesn't go on for my son, but okay.
Everything is fine. But yeah, I jumped ahead though before. So
let's just put this unpleasantness behind us.
That's right. Yeah. We don't need to investigate any further. So we should touch on briefly Captain Picard and Dr. Crusher leave Wesley's room because he says he wants to talk to Locarno, and Locarno, immediately you're sure that he's up to something. And then when he tells, you know, Wesley that basically they have to stick together and get their story straight, you think, aha, you really are up to something.
Yeah.
So, you know, we know what's going on.
Right.
And then this is, you know, another episode, or this must be the first episode where Boothby appears.
Yeah.
And then
Boothby. Well, I think technically it's the only episode where real Boothby appears, right?
Oh, that's true.
Because I think the other ones are all like he's species, he's like, whatever, 348259, whatever that, I can't remember. I can't remember the number, but, and then another one, I think he appears in a holodeck or a dream or something. I didn't check up on what the other one was, but I remember the species one where he's an alien on Voyager.
Yes, but he's also apparently, Captain Picard's buddy, or not buddy, but kind of knew him.
Like mentor, sort of. Yeah.
Slash.
Which nobody finds weird. And he seems to know all the students, and nobody finds it weird that this groundskeeper is like being real chummy with all the students.
And also, this is another question. I always have this question about how the economy works, because there's no money in the Federation. And right. One assumes everyone gets whatever they need and they don't have to do anything to get it. So I guess I could understand why you'd be a groundskeeper, because people do enjoy gardening. But he doesn't seem to be all that enthusiastic about his job. And he's been doing it for a long time. So I'm not quite sure why he continues to do it.
Yeah. So apparently he is 104 in this episode. Because I got interested in the dates for some reason, because they talk about Picard's class year. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I was trying to figure out how old he was in this episode, how old Stewart was in this episode. And then it came up like, how old is Picard in this episode? So apparently Picard is like 63 in this episode. But I assume that he's, you know, looks younger and is more fit because
future
stuff.
Everyone lives longer.
And the same with Boothby. Although you never really know that for sure if Boothby's a human or an alien, right?
That's true.
There seems like there's something alien about him.
Seems like he might be one of my favorite Martians.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, having Ray Walston play him is definitely, you know, tips you in that direction.
Yes. And he does a good job. I mean, he's a good actor, and I enjoy the character of Boothby. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but
yeah.
He's a grumpy guy, and there's some good conversations. He basically acts as a point of a bridge to Picard's memories of his time in the Academy, and when he apparently... And I don't know if they ever tell us what happens, but he did something.
I don't think. Yeah.
Some kind of mistake that Boothby basically...
I was trying to remember, there's that episode where Q sends him back in time to the Academy.
And he gets... and that's what I was thinking, perhaps that was the fight where he got stabbed through the heart, and that was what he was talking about.
Yeah, I don't know if that was it or not.
It's unclear.
Yeah.
He did something and he wasn't proud
of it. For
some
reason, I was thinking it wasn't that. I mean, I remembered that incident, but I couldn't, it didn't seem like the way they were talking about it, it was that.
And I don't remember.
Maybe it was.
I don't remember if that happened when he was in the Academy or if he had just graduated.
Well, they were just about to graduate, right? I think it was at the end of...
That's right.
The very end, because they were going to get assigned to their ships and go their separate ways.
Oh, right.
Stuff and all that stuff. And
But he didn't.
That's a good episode. I love seeing Picard in the blue uniform.
Yes. Like that is a good episode. And I'm pretty sure you're right. I don't think that's the incident because it doesn't make any sense, really.
Yeah, in the way that they're speaking.
And how they're talking about it. But that sets it up so that because we don't know what Wes and crew have done, but we know it's not right. And so now we know, oh, Captain Picard also had something. And now he's going to, clearly, Captain Picard is going to become like the moral sounding board, perhaps, for Wes. Although, mm-hmm. really, he basically says, I know what you did. And if you don't tell people, I'll tell them. So it's really up to you.
And that is I would watch him dress down a ham sandwich, but I love seeing him do that. I love seeing him do it to Worf or whoever he's yelling at. He's just
I have said this before, he's so good. But I would be horrified if Captain Picard did that to me. He is, it's so oh, good, yeah. And it would make me feel so bad. Oh,
just withered, just absolutely withered.
I would just start crying, I think.
They apparently went through a few iterations with this storyline as they were developing it, and at one point, trying to remember, I wrote this down, but they were going to have the Wesley's decision be more about, so the choice that was presented was going to be presented to Wesley was whether or not to save his own butt and tell the truth by telling the truth, mm-hmm. and save his career, or sticking with the team and not telling the truth. But it would only have, like, the choice was, like, if one of you comes forward, you know, you can stay and be in the academy or something like that. And Picard's dressing down was going to be, you need to think about your career and you also need to tell the truth. And so you should go before them, even if it screws the other members of the team. And then he makes the decision not to tell the truth because he doesn't want to screw the other members of the team.
I think I prefer,
and I think they would have changed the incident, so it's not necessarily exactly the same. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're not covering up. It's not they don't. I don't think they present it as blaming it on the kid who died.
Yeah, that's not
good. In that instance. So they had a bunch of conversations about the way this was going to go, and they had a fairly big disagreement, and some of them didn't like the way that it turned out and wanted it to be the other way, but they thought it ended up being a decent episode anyway.
Yeah, I think I feel like the way they chose, which is basically Picard says, your first, and the name of the title, the first duty of a Starfleet officer is to the truth, and, you know, the truth is its own reward, all that good stuff. I feel like that is a better message to send than you should tell the truth.
I think so, too.
So you could save yourself.
Yeah, that's what I think. Like, I think that would be Picard giving the wrong advice, mm-hmm. and...
Picard can't give you the wrong advice.
Exactly. That's my Picard. Picard does not give you the wrong advice.
That's right. He is right all the time.
He might make wrong decisions for himself sometimes, but he does not give you bad advice.
That's right. He knows the right thing to do, and he will tell you what to do. He may not do it himself, but...
Yes.
So it turns out they, as John said, Wes joined this... flying club team, whatever they call it, and someone dies in one of their formations, and now there's an inquiry because that is Starfleet procedure, and it seems like the key components of any inquiry in Starfleet is a big bell and a Vulcan. So got both of those. And
I had to look that guy up because I thought he was one of the admirals in that episode with the bugs that crawl into your mouth.
Oh,
not the same actor.
So. Captain Setelik, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
I don't know. He's a Vulcan. He has some fierce eyebrows.
Right.
That's what you need.
But it's interesting that this plays out a little bit like your procedural. I mean, or like a sort of, you know, like an LA Law episode or something like that. I mean, it's all like a court. It's a courtroom drama, basically.
Yes, my favorite part is when they have Wesley Crusher talking about their the maneuver, and the captain Setlick says, "So you were in a slot formation, a diamond slot formation," and Wesley says, "Yes, sir." And the admiral says, "Think carefully, Wesley." and which should be, you know, a tip-off that perhaps you should change your answer.
Right. We know you were not into Diamond Slot Formation.
And Wes is like, no, we're totally, like, the best Diamond Slot Formation you've ever seen.
You've never seen a Diamond Slot Formation so nice.
And then, of course, they have satellite sensor records that show they were not in a slot, Diamond Slot Formation.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then there's that moment, which I enjoy greatly, when the Admiral says, Cadet, is this a Diamond Slot Formation? He says no. And then you're like, what? Whoa. It's crazy.
Because we don't know what a diamond slot formation is.
Like, I don't know. That looks kind of like a diamond slot formation. I don't know. But yeah, they're basically just lying to everybody. And so there are five of them, or four of them. How many of them are there? I think there are four of them. There were five. One's dead.
Yeah.
The other keynote is, so Tom Paris isn't Tom Paris, but we've got Sito Jaxa, who shows up again. Yes. Later in an episode, Lower Decks, I believe, is the episode she shows up in, and which we covered in a random check. I'll have a link to that. And spoiler for Lower Decks, she dies in it.
Yeah. Spoiler for an episode that came out 25 years ago.
Exactly. And I said this in the episode of Random Trek, but I remembered Lower Deck very clearly as being like a fun episode. And I had no memory of her horrific death at the end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it wasn't as fun as I thought.
They talked about bringing her back in Deep Space Nine, having her still be alive.
Oh.
Yeah. And they ultimately decided not to do it because I think they decided that I would have ruined it. rightly, I think, ruined the episode.
Because it would have.
That was very dramatic. And, you know, some people are going to die in this when you're in a starship that's flying all over the place and fighting aliens and stuff like that. So
bad things happen.
You got to every once in a while, you got to show that.
Yes. And that episode also features a very impressive dressing down from Captain Picard for Sito Jaxa. So if you enjoy Captain Picard yelling at people, check out that episode.
That's one of my favorite things.
And so, you know, at this point, we know that they're up to something, but we don't really know what. And this is when Locarno has told his team, listen, we're not going to lie. We're just not going to tell them everything. And then it's clear that the Admiral and the Vulcan know they're not telling everything. And so Locarno does, it seems like a game time decision, and basically says, well, It's a tragedy that Cadet Albert, who is the one who died, but really it was his fault because he was not good at his flying, and so, you know, he ruined it for everybody.
He sucked.
Yeah, and you think, well, I can understand not telling the whole truth and hoping to escape by, but then blaming it on the person who died seems like a step too far.
Mm-hmm. And then to make it more dramatic, they have his father comes to Wesley and apologizes for his son. He's such a loser.
It's true. He's
like, which is like, oh no, why'd you have to do that?
He's like, yeah, I found this sweater in his room and I figured it was yours. Also, sorry, my son was so bad at everything.
Sorry, he's like, sorry that he let you down.
He really looked
first of all, I don't think anyone would say that. As a parent, I would never, like, if something like that happened, I would not be running over like, oh, I'm sorry my son let you down. I mean, I would find some other way to talk to that person, but, you know, it's my kid who died. I'm the one who is grieving.
Exactly.
So.
And I mean, people grieve in different ways, so I think it's okay lieutenant commander crying or anything. He was clearly upset, but he wasn't, you know, rending his garments off, which I think is fine. But I do agree that it seemed weird they did that just to make ratchet up the pressure on Wes,
put more pressure on Wesley.
I do agree that it was like, hey, how did he know that sweater was Wesley's sweater? That was it seemed weird. And then
I know you like sweaters.
You're a noted sweater enthusiast, so I figured it was yours.
I asked around for someone who is famous for wearing lots of sweaters, and they said you.
Oh, boy. It is post-sweater that we get the scene that I enjoy with Captain Setlick, going, ha-ha, you are wrong. You lie. You have turned this courtroom into a court of lies. And then they ratchet
You're
up.
You're out of order.
Exactly. They ratchet up the pressure on Wesley even more, because after that scene where he is clearly lying to everybody and he's been called out, that we go to his quarters and Dr. Crusher is there and she's like, I'm going to help you here, Wesley. I know you're not lying.
There must be more pressure.
That's right. There must be something wrong with the satellite data. We'll get to the bottom of this. And Wesley's like,
the laws of physics must be wrong themselves.
That's right.
Clearly, my son couldn't have done anything bad.
And she said, we'll delay the inquiry because we've got to figure out what's going on. And
I'll challenge Selick to a fist fight.
And you could just imagine Wes pulling at his collar and going, ooh, boy. And he says, no, it's fine. He basically is,
and that gets to, you were talking about being uncomfortable when your parents visit you at school. And mm-hmm. he's just like, he's constantly telling her, mom, no, no, mom, no, no. Mom, back off. No. And that's more, that's definitely stuff that you say to your parents when they come visit you at school.
Yes. I bought that interaction. I feel like the relationship between Wesley Crusher and Dr. Crusher is very believable. Even though in this episode, I am no expert on hairstyles, but Dr. Crusher's hair just seems incredibly poofy in this episode. I don't know why.
So does Wesley's. The hair, yes. Whoever did the hair in this episode was going nuts.
They were
we got a lot Wesley of always kind of had a slicked back look when he was on the Enterprise. But now that he's at Starfleet Academy, he's got kind of a bouffant, or what do you call that? Is it a bouffant?
Yeah. Well, it's the style of
pompadour.
Time.
Pompadour.
Yes, I think.
Yeah.
He's going for it. Yeah. He's a young man. He's on Earth, looking to see what he can find.
Sure.
And this is where, so Boothby.
Gather ye
in.
Rosebuds while ye may.
Exactly. Captain Picard searches out Boothby and says, hey, Boothby, I know you know everybody, creepily.
Weirdly.
What do you know about the Nova Squad? And he says, well, I'll tell you something. That squad is very loyal to Tom Paris.
How does he know?
I found that really weird. And he's like, they'd follow him off a cliff if he wanted to. So clearly, somehow Boothby knows that they're lying and knows what's going on. But it makes no sense how. But he does. Which then sets off Picard to say, oh, there must be something up with this. And meanwhile, we skipped over the scene because it doesn't really matter. Data and Geordi have been on the case to figure out if they can reconstruct the data from the flight recorder. Turns out they can't.
Back at the station.
That's right. They're on the Enterprise fiddling around with stuff. They can't. And so there's a scene where Captain Picard goes back to the Enterprise and talks to Data and Geordi, and they're like, we can't find anything. And Captain Picard says, just tell me all about what was happening on the, if there was anything anomalous on the shuttles. And they say, well, this interlock was, Wesley's plasma interlock was open when it should have been closed, but that shouldn't have anything to do with it. And I think either Data or Picard or Geordi is like, yeah, in fact, the plasma could have ignited and that would have been quite dangerous. And that was the moment Captain Picard figures out what's going on.
The light went on.
That's right. Because apparently everybody knows about the Colavord starburst.
The other one's a real thing, right? I think the first one that they were talking about.
The Jaeger
they
loop?
Were doing. Jaeger. Yeah, Jaeger. Oh, yeah, because it's named after Chuck Jaeger. Mm-hmm. Right. But the other one, I think, is obviously completely made up.
Yes, but this is where I think the best scene in the episode we've already talked about is Captain Picard basically yelling at Wesley, and that's what happens in this episode, in this moment. Wesley comes into the ready room. Captain Picard, in a very dramatic moment, twirls his monitor around and says, can you tell me the name of this maneuver?
Like to explain this.
That's right. And Wesley's trying to keep school. You can see he's like, be cool, man, be cool. he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know anything. And
I hid my stash.
That's right. And it is clear Captain Picard knows exactly what they did. And it is, this maneuver has been banned from the Academy for, I don't know, 100 years or something like that, because the last time it was done, all five cadets died. And
except for Cadet Kirk.
Except, that's right. Because he changed the rules.
He changed the rules.
He convinced five other people to do it.
That sounds like a Kirk thing to do.
Yes. And so the jig is up for Wesley, and Captain Picard has a very stirring speech where he says, as we covered already, the truth is the whole point of Starfleet. And if you can't tell your own personal truth, then you have no business in the Starfleet uniform. And he basically says, you will tell the Admiral or I will do it for you. And Wes decides to do it, because he does do it, but it was weird because he decides. So the Admiral, that then we're back in the inquiry. The Admiral says, well, basically, I think you're all lying to me, but I have no proof. So I'm going to ring my bell.
It is about to close the proceedings.
Yes. And then Wesley says, I would like to amend my testimony. And she's like, okay, even though I have already clearly rung my bell, Cadet Crusher.
Sorry.
That's right.
Court's adjourned.
We're done. And they immediately beam out. And Wesley says, yep, we totally did this thing and it wasn't his fault. Everybody gets, Locarno gets kicked out of Starfleet Academy. And the episode, I feel like this is a good episode and they take their time with everything except for the last couple of minutes. It's like very quickly he admits to everything. Then it's like, okay, well, Locarno, you're out. Wesley, your last year of credits has been canceled. You're not going to graduate with your class. Bye. And he says goodbye, right. Captain Picard, and it's over.
And they don't really explain what happened to the other two, particularly. Maybe they I don't know if they explain that in the episode, the other episode that she's in, if they reference.
That
must come up in that episode, right?
It does come up. I think that they probably suffer the same fate of Wesley, of having their credits.
That's what I would have thought. That's what I would think, too. Canceled. Yeah. And I think, so Locarno gets punished more harshly because he's the leader of the team, right?
It was really his idea, because he was basically, there's a scene we skipped over where Locarno, or a couple of scenes where he's with the squad and he's basically saying, listen, we are in this together. Nothing's going to happen to us if we tell the same story. Everybody be cool. We're not lying. We're just not telling the truth.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So he does come forward and takes the blame for it after it comes out, right?
Yes.
Because that's what he said, that's what he told Wesley, that he said that he would take one for the team. Instead of going before them and telling the truth and implicating everybody, he advocates for taking one for the team. And
well, he advocates
that's
for
what
Wesley
he ends up doing,
taking one for the team.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's telling Wesley to do that, but he also says that that's what I would do. But and
I don't think he does it though.
He does. I mean, he after it comes out, he says that he was the one responsible. So, spare everybody else because I'm the one who did it.
That's
and
right.
So that's why they expel him.
Yes, that's right.
Instead of everybody.
And
Wesley says he did exactly what he said he was going to do.
Yes, I was confused because they don't show him doing that. They show
they don't. right. All that happens off screen, and it's just glossed over in like the last, like you said, just like in the last like 2 minutes.
Because the last thing they show of him is the Admiral asking Locarno if he has anything to say. And you would think, well, this is a moment of possible redemption for Locarno, but he doesn't say anything.
Yeah. His moment of character, the first character to shine, it happens off screen.
He's like, yeah, exactly. I don't want the pressure of everyone seeing it, but I'll admit to it later. And then it's very, very abrupt, and I even think it's clear Captain Picard is disappointed in Wesley, which is the only thing that's worse than a Captain Picard yelling at you is Captain Picard being disappointed in you. And at the end, it's clear he's proud that Wesley told the truth, but disappointed that he had to be cajoled into telling the truth.
Sure.
And then he's like,
been there.
It's true. The episode ends with, you know, then Picard basically saying peace out and Wesley saying goodbye and roll credits.
Yeah.
And that's,
I think it's a good, episode. As I said, I was going through and I was watching them. I was just picking ones that I really like to watch again. And I probably would have skipped this one, but it was still pretty good.
Yeah,
it's not one of the ones that I think of as like one of my favorites or anything. That's for sure. But again, like I said, watching Picard yell at somebody is always a good time.
This I remembered this episode. I've seen it before, and I remembered liking it less than I actually did like it watching it again. So it had that going for it. And I do, like I said at the beginning, I like the when we get especially a TNG episode, because it doesn't happen all that often, where a Starfleet person is doing something less than less than truthfully, just because every other Starfleet person in TNG is an upright and very capable person. So it's nice to see that, you know, not everybody super great.
And I like it that it happens in real time, that the thing that he's doing, because we do get a lot of episodes where it's like, oh, here's this thing that I did when I was young and dumb, right, and it's coming back to haunt me. That happens fairly frequently.
Yes, I've learned from it.
At least more frequently than that. But yes. I liked it that he made a mistake in this one and was uncomfortable about it through the whole episode, really, but was still doing the wrong thing, and then finally does the right thing.
And I think that the brilliance of this episode is that I don't think most of us have been responsible for someone dying, but we've all been in similar situations with lower stakes, where we know what the right thing to do is, but we resist doing it because we don't want to deal with the consequences, or we don't want to hurt the rest of the group, or whatever the reason is.
Yeah, you'll get a hard time for your friends or whatever, yeah.
And so you can totally relate to Wesley in this, and you can totally relate to where Captain Picard is coming from, because Captain Picard, as we have established, is totally right.
All the time.
That's right. So if we've learned nothing else from this episode, we have learned, listen to Captain Picard, don't listen to Tom Paris, no matter what he says his name is.
One thing that, one thing that I noticed rewatching some of these episodes, in this one in particular, is the Bajoran. I'd forgotten that the Bajoran nose things were a little wackier.
Yes, I was noticing that
too. TNG, they don't look. I don't think they ever looked quite right, and they look better after, because they have like a ridge.
Yes,
above the
horizontal above the nose. Ridge.
Yeah, and it doesn't quite look right, and they ended up getting rid of those, and even Ro has it in her episodes too, but by the time they do Deep Space Nine, they're gone.
Yeah, I imagine I don't think it looks right, but B, it must just have been more complicated. They're
harder too. Yeah, it's probably harder too.
So many people putting these things on for every episode of Deep Space Nine. We need to simplify it. Too many Bajorans for that. So yeah, I mean, I think that despite this being a Wesley Crusher episode, it's pretty good.
Well, Wesley. That's the other thing. Yeah, I mean, and I saw that the writers commented on this too in some interviews, that it helps make Wesley seem a little bit more real, because he's so for so long portrayed as this kid, this wonder kid who can do no wrong. And then, you know, this alien shows up and the alien compares him to Mozart and, you know, there's all this stuff. And you're kind of like, really?
I know Mozart. You, sir.
I know Mozart. And it shows that he's got flaws, too. And he makes mistakes and sets him up for like the next time he's on. Right. Which is the last time.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
this feeds into him being sort of disillusioned with Starfleet and ends up leaving the Academy, right?
Yes, exactly. And realizing that he's not cut out for the Academy. Which, you know, is an interesting character.
Mozart wouldn't have gone to the Academy.
That is true. Mozart was not a military man. I will say, I mean, if you asked me who my favorite characters on The Next Generation were, Wesley Crusher would not be on that list.
Pretty low on the list.
But he is not. If you ask me to list my least favorite characters in Star Trek in general, I don't think Wesley Crusher would be super high on that list. He would be on that list somewhere, but he wouldn't be like, you know, Neelix. Well, John, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. It's always a good time, even if we have to talk about Wesley.